Magandang umaga po sa inyong lahat. It's really good, ano? It doesn't matter what kind of cell phone you possess. No, what matters is you know how to listen to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Kasi po, today is the time, this time is our time to really open our eyes and open our ears, no, and open our hearts to be able to hear from Him. No? So again, good morning. And we will be resuming our series, our episodes in the book of Genesis, Reborn. And now we are focusing on the life of Joseph. No? But to give you a review lang siguro, review baka dun sa iba, mga first time natin kasama ngayon. Bigyan ko lang kayo ng parang gist kung ano mga nangyari in the past. So after the destruction of the world during the time of Noah, God decided to put on, siguro, to put forward His plan in saving the world. So He chose a man named Abraham. So He focused His eyes on one person, on his family, and made a promise to him that I will bless you, and everyone who blesses you will be blessed, and everyone who curses you will be cursed. And through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Meaning that through Abraham and his lineage, no, the Savior will come. The Messiah will come. So, nakita natin si Abraham, nagkaroon siya ng anak, si Isaac, and then nagkaroon siya ng another son, si Isaac, si Jacob, no? At tumuloy doon. After Jacob, nakita natin how through deception, no, he got the blessing. But ultimately, despite or in spite of who he was, no, the promise of God persisted on, and the covenant of God went through Jacob. And then nagkaroon siya ng 12 sons in with 4 wives. No, this is a weird family. Kasi hindi tayo nakakita ng ganyan eh. Alam natin yung isang lalaki, pwede magkaroon ng isang asawa, mamatay yun, then magkaroon ng pangalawa. But Jacob had 4 wives simultaneously. So this is a crazy family. And this family is full of intrigues and full of, fightings and conflict. Nagsimula yan nung nagkaroon ng paborito si Jacob at ang paborito niya si Joseph. At yung 11 other sons were not happy about it. And so they decided to sell. Actually, they decided to kill Joseph. No, but eventually, he was not killed, but he was sold to the Ishmaelites and was sold as a slave to Egypt. So nakita natin yung buhay ni Joseph. Si Joseph, he was 17 years old when he was sold to Egypt to Potiphar, and he was framed. O siguro sabi natin, he worked as a slave, but he was accused of rape. Although he was not really guilty about it, but he was accused of rape and he was imprisoned as an innocent man. No? Innocenting tao, he was imprisoned. And for how long, we cannot determine the number of years he was in prison. But then nagkaroon ng another fellow prisoners, the cupbearer and the baker, and they had a dream, and Joseph was able to interpret their dreams. And after 2 years of being forgotten by the cupbearer, the chance was given by the Lord to him, and he was able to interpret the dream of the Pharaoh. No, and he was catapulted from prison to palace, from slavery to sovereignty, from the pit to the palace. No? So yun yung story ni Joseph. And it's a beautiful story. You know, you ask me why. Why is it a beautiful story? Because the story of Joseph points us to Jesus. No, it's all about the story of Jesus. No, Joseph is a type of Jesus. And through this passage in Genesis 42, we will see how the story of Joseph is more like the life of Jesus Christ. Now, sabi na ni Joseph kay Pharaoh, there will be 7 years of abundance and 7 years of famine. And by chapter 42, tapos na yung 7 years of abundance, and he was able to save 20% of the grain. And now Joseph, when he saw that famine is now setting in, I think chapter 42 is the first year of the famine. Ito yung unang taon ng famine, and the world began to feel the sting of the famine and the drought kasi nauubos na yung kanilang mga pagkain. And then they heard something about, you know, the good news that there's food in Egypt. Ito na po yun, mga kapatid. Okay? So chapter 42 is not just the story of Joseph, but it's also the story of the other 11 sons of Jacob. No? Because 22 years yung pong 10 sons, no? They plotted to kill Joseph, and then eventually they sold Joseph. 22 years ago yun nangyari, 22 years ago. And they began to believe in the lie that Joseph is already dead. So alam nila patay na si Joseph. Kasi who would have thought that Joseph could survive the slavery in Egypt? So alam mo yon, they have some skeletons in their closets that they hid for the longest time. No? Tinago nila itong baho na ito. Ang tagal-tagal, 22 years. Pero alam mo kapatid, hindi ka pala pwede magtago. Amen. If there are sins that you have harbored in your heart, if there are offenses that you did against someone, no, and you kept it in your heart thinking that no, nobody knows about it, God has His way of resurfacing it. You know, God has His way of bringing it out in the open. You cannot hide from God. Amen? Sabi mo sa katabi mo, hindi ka pwedeng magtago. Ayan, medyo nakakatakot yung salitang yan. No? Kasi we have a way, you know, with our conscience that sometimes we try to say no to our conscience or sometimes we ignore what our conscience is saying. In 1984, in Spain, there was an airline, no? The name of the airplane is Avianca. And they were heading towards Madrid, no, in the mountain ranges. And then, you know, the airplane suddenly crashed. And all the passengers died. So of course, what will you do? Do sa mga investigators, they look at the mga natira, na mga debris. And they found the black box. So part of the investigation is to get the black box and to find out, you know, what the conversations that transpired before the crash. And when they played it, they were surprised. Because, you know, as the airplane was approaching the mountain ranges, you can hear doon sa black box that the voice prompt from the airplane itself, yung mismong aeroplano, meron siyang voice prompt na nagsasabi, pull up, pull up, pull up. Kasi masyado nang malapit sa bundok yung aeroplano. So sabi ng voice prompt, signaling the pilot, pull up, pull up, pull up. But the pilot replied, shut up, gringo. And then he turned off the switch to shut up, you know, the voice prompt. And then the crash happened. So sometimes, no, pwede mong patayin yung konsyensya. Pwede mong i-turn off yung conscience, no? But not this time. Not in chapter 42. Not in chapter 42. Okay. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn it to chapter 42. And then let's all stand up as we read chapter 42, verse 1 to 11. The title of today's message is Road to Restoration. Okay, can you say Road to Restoration? And the best way to restore you is to awaken your conscience. And today, let's do just that. Okay, verse 1 to 11, chapter 42, verse 1 to 11. If you have your Bibles with you, we don't have that in the screen because we are encouraging you to bring your own Bibles with you. So, Genesis chapter 42, I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. At ito ang sabi, okay? When Jacob learned that there was grain for sale in Egypt, he said to his sons, why do you look at one another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is grain for sale in Egypt. Go down and buy grain for us there, that we may live and not die. So, 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt, but Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with his brothers, for he feared that harm might happen to him. Thus the sons of Israel came to buy among the others who came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Now, Joseph was governor over the land. He was the one who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed themselves before him with their faces to the ground. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he treated them like strangers and spoke roughly to them. "Where do you come from?" he said. They said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." And Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. And Joseph remembered the dreams that he had dreamed of them, and he said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of the land." They said to him, "No, my lord, your servants have come to buy food. We are all sons of one man. We are honest men. Your servants have never been spies." No, the Lord bless the reading of His word. Manalangin po tayo, Panginoon. Thank you for the richness of your word, and we pray that we will fall in love with you more and more, and we will love your word more and more. Help us to grow deeper, Lord, in your word. By the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can we give the Lord a round of applause? Okay, please be seated in the presence of the Lord, okay? So 22 years of numbing their consciences, no? 22 years of shutting off their conscience, and God has a way of restoring these brothers. No? What does God use to awaken your conscience? Most often than not, He uses pressures. He uses pressures to awaken your conscience. In verse 1, there was a famine. So the pressure was the famine, no? And because there was a famine, they had no choice but to find food. At nung nalaman ni Jacob na merong food sa Egypt, sinabi niya yun sa kanyang mga anak. There is food in Egypt. Now when the brothers heard the word Egypt, nobody dared to look at the eyes of Jacob. Reuben looked at Simeon. Simeon glanced at Judah. And Judah darted his eyes to Levi. Alam mo yon, yung sinabi lang ni Jacob, meron daw pagkain dun sa Ehipto. Biglang tumahimik sa kwarto. Tumingin si Reuben kay Simeon. Lumingon naman si Simeon kay Judah. Tapos pumihit ng tingin itong si Judah kay Levi. Sabi ni Jacob, ano bang nangyari sa inyo? Para kayo nakakita ng multo. Sinabi ko lang, Egypt. Why do you stare at each other? Why are you looking at each other? And when you look at the original rendition in the Hebrew language, no? Yung looking is, it kept on happening. Parang nagtinginan sila na hindi sila makakibo. Na parang may inililihim sila. But Jacob had no idea about, you know, what they were hiding. Pero sabi nila, merong pagkain sa Ehipto, no? Wala namang multo dito. Tapos na yung All Saints Day. Tapos na yung Halloween. No? Kaya lang, the word Egypt is like a bomb in their guilty consciences. Nung narinig na yung salitang Egypt, para bang narinig din nila yung kalansing ng silver habang binebenta nila si Joseph? Narinig nila, naaalala nila yung how Joseph begged to them, na, "Please don't sell me." Naaalala nila at yan, mga kapatid. Pero pinilit nilang itago yung lihim na ito. Tanda mo, kapatid, no? Your ghost will catch up on you and your sin will find you out. In verse 4, ang sabi dito sa verse 4, sabi dito sa verse 3, so pumunta yung 10 brothers to buy grain in Egypt, But Jacob did not send Benjamin. He did not send Benjamin. Bakit hindi niya sinend si Benjamin? Joseph's brother with his brothers, for he feared that harm might happen to him. So Jacob is like a helicopter parent, no, trying to guard Benjamin. Kasi nga, si Benjamin is the only son left with his favorite wife, Rachel. Kaya hindi niya ma-imagine na mawala sa piling niya si Benjamin. Hindi niya nga pinadadapuan sa langaw yun eh. No? Hindi niya nga pinasasakay sa tricycle yun. Hindi niya nga talagang hatid sundo yan, no? Yung si Benjamin na yan. Bantay na bantay niya itong si Benjamin kasi mahal na mahal niya. No? So anyway, so naiwan si Benjamin, yung sampo, pumunta ng Egypt. Okay, and then in verse 6, Joseph was the governor. Can you say governor? So he was the governor, and yet what you can notice about Joseph is that he is hands-on in the reception. He was the one selling. Alam mo, di ba, when you're the head, when you're the leader, you don't normally frequent the reception area. But what's happening to Joseph, no? Probably he was looking for the possibility, by chance siguro, that he will get to see his brothers. And so it happened in verse 6. So crowds were coming from different nations, and then significantly, marami itong galing sa Canaan. Because 10 children, 10 sons, 10 men, and probably they have, you know, servants of their own. So it's a big crowd. So Joseph personally attended to them. And when he saw them from afar, he was thinking, could it be? Could it be that these are my brothers? Is that Reuben? Is that Judah? Mukhang tumanda na yata itong mga kapatid ko. No? So, kumaba ang puso nitong si Joseph. But, you know, Joseph recognizes brothers, but his brothers did not recognize him. You know, much like our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, before you even recognize Jesus, He already recognized you. Before you even know Jesus, Jesus already knew about you. Before you even pray to Him, He has already answered your prayers. Amen ba? Ganun ang nangyari dito. Nakita ni Joseph, yung kanyang mga kapatid, and nobody recognized him because Joseph was wearing his OOTD, na alam mo yon, yung outfit of the day niya, na meron siyang headdress na square, na para siyang sphinx, di ba? At siguro, he was, you know, alam mo naman yung may pinta yung kanyang, ano, yung kanyang, anong tawag dito? Eyebrow? Makapal na eyebrow na gano'n. Ano? So, hindi mo makita. Tapos, shaven talaga siya. Wala siyang balbas. Unlike ng mga Hebrews, talagang balbas arado. Pero siya, wala siyang balbas. Hindi mo talaga siya ma-imagine. And he was speaking a totally different language. He's not speaking Hebrew. He was speaking Egyptian. So, he had an interpreter. So, nakita talaga ni Joseph yung kanyang mga kapatid. And he remembered in verse 9, the dream. May fulfillment pala talaga yung mga dreams natin, ano? Amen ba? So right before his eyes, he saw the fulfillment of his dreams. That the stack of grains were all bowing down before him, and now he's looking at his brothers, bowing their heads on the ground in front of him. Although, hindi alam ng mga kapatid that they were actually fulfilling the dream. You know, these brothers, they want to get rid of Joseph. They want to get rid of the dream of Joseph by sending him to Egypt. Little did they know that the dream will be fulfilled in Egypt. So it was not the brothers who sold Joseph. Hindi yung magkakapatid ang nagbenta. It was God who sent Joseph to Egypt. Amen? Amen po ba? Ang kamay ng Diyos ay nandun, mga kapatid. Kaya sa mga pagkakataon ng buhay natin na hindi mo maintindihan, nasasaktan ka, nalilito ka, tandaan mo ang kamay ng Diyos ang umaayos ng lahat ng bagay upang matupad ang mga una ng mga pangako at mga pangarap na inilagay ng Panginoon sa iyong puso. Amen po ba? Amen. So, in verse 7, look at verse 9. Yeah, and he said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of the land." Nakedness, ibig sabihin, these are the defenseless areas of the land. You are spies. Kayo'y mga espiya. Naalala niyo ba yung pagkakataon na inuutusan ni Jacob, yung kanyang anak na si Joseph, na, "Can you go to Shechem and look after your brothers and watch over them and see what they are doing and bring a report back to me?" No? As if, parang sinasabi ni Jacob kay Joseph, "Can you spy on your brothers?" At yun yung intindi ng magkakapatid, na kaya nandito si Joseph to spy on us. Look at this spoiled brat, no, Joseph. He's spying on us. And then to get rid of this favorite son of their father, they threw him in a pit. Now, this is exactly what Joseph did to his brothers. Joseph accused his brothers, "You're spies. You're spying on the defenseless areas of Egypt. And because you are spies, I will put you in the dungeon." Reminiscent? Deja vu? Parang inuulit ni Joseph? Bakit niya ginagawa ito? Why was Joseph doing this? Is it because he was vindictive? Is it because he wanted to torture his brothers? Yung bang dahilan kung bakit sinabihan niya na mga espiya kayo at ikinulong sa dungeon for 3 days? Naghihiganti ba si Joseph sa kanyang mga kapatid? Masama ba ang loob niya ni Joseph sa kanyang mga kapatid kaya niya inakusahan na yung mga espiya itong mga ito? Far from it. Far from it. Alam niyo sa Bible, bihira yung sinasabihan that the Holy Spirit was upon him. But Joseph, even people recognize that the Spirit of God was with him. And this is part of the wisdom that God has given Joseph, no? To lead his brothers to repentance. To allow his brothers to process what happened and to give them a chance to repent and to be restored. So there is a process. You know, Joseph could have done things like, pwede ang ginawa niya nung nakita niya yung mga kapatid niya, pinadampot na lang eh. Wala nang tanong-tanong eh. Pwede niya sabihin yung mga gwardiya niya, "Damputin niyo nga yung sampu na yan. Damputin niyo, kulong niyo na." Hindi niya nakakausapin. Di ba? He could have done that. O kaya pwede naman niyang ding sabihin na harapin niya yung sampu na yon at sabihin niya, "Well, well, well, so you're here, ha? Ang kakapal ng mukha ninyo, pumunta pa kayo rito, ha? Ni isang butil ng trigo, hindi kayo makakakuha. Tandaan nyo yan." Pwedeng sabihin ni Joseph yun, di ba? Or pwede rin niyang sabihin na, "Pumunta pa kayo dito, paano ganyan. Sige, eto na, tigi-tigi isang sako kayo ng trigo, lumayas na kayo, ayoko nang makita pagmumukha ninyo." Pwede niyang sabihin yun eh. But he did not do that. Pwede rin naman sabihin na ganito. Actually, kung napatawad na ni Joseph yung mga kapatid niya, pwede niya sabihin niya, "Guys, it's me, Joseph. Come on, let's celebrate. I have already forgiven you. Come on, come here. Big hug. Group hug tayo." Pero hindi ginawa ni Joseph yun. Kung ginawa ni Joseph yun, di nakasave tayo ng 6th chapter sa Genesis. Matipid, di ba? Tapos na, ending na, di ba? Di ba? Pwede namang tapusin na lang eh. Tapusin na natin para mabilis na yung ending. Di ba? But Joseph did not do that. Why? Because in God's wisdom, there has to be a process. There has to be a process of restoration. There has to be a road by which his brothers will internalize and reflect, what have we done? Was it wrong? If it's wrong, then what must I do about it? If I have offended someone, if I have hurt someone, then what must I do about it? If I have committed a sin, a crime, no, and I have hidden it for so long, What must I do about it? 22 years of silence. Pero every time, if you try to shut off that conscience, every time that there will be a struggle, a conflict, or a mishap, you will always go back to that day. Pinaparusahan ako ng Diyos sa kasalanan ko 22 years ago. Hindi ka makakatulog. Sinasabi ko sa iyo, hindi ka makakatulog. Kasi bawat mishap, bawat problema, bawat struggle, pati yung matraffic ka, pati yung hindi mo makuha yung ina-expect mo, babalik ka doon sa isang eksena sa buhay mo na hindi mo sinisettle. Babalik ka dyan. Hanggang hindi mo inaayos yan, guguluhin ka ng Diyos. He will put pressure on you. He will always say the word Egypt to you to ring a bell to awaken your conscience. So Joseph had to find out, have my brothers changed? Have my brothers really changed? There are three questions that he needed answer. The first question is, will they tell the truth? Will they be honest enough to tell the truth? Kasi this is a family of liars and deceivers. Will they finally learn how to tell the truth? The second question at the back of the mind of Joseph is this. Will they begin to care for their brother? Will they love their brother? That's the reason why he detained Simeon. And the third question at the back of Joseph's mind is this. Will they begin to fear God? These three questions, important questions, Joseph wanted to find out. Gustong malaman ni Jose, ito bang aking mga kapatid, nagbago na ba talaga? Marunong na ba sila magsabi ng totoo? Marunong na ba sila mangumpisal? Pangalawa, marunong bang magmahal tong mga kapatid ko o ibebenta din nila yung si Simeon? Pangatlong tanong, marunong na bang magtiwala sa Diyos itong mga kapatid ko o ilalagay na naman nila sa sakril ng mga kamay ang mga bagay-bagay at didiskartehan nila na hindi kasama ang Diyos? Look at verse 12. He said to them, no, sabi ni Joseph. So he spoke harshly to his brothers. No, it is the nakedness of the land that you have come to see. And they said, we, your servants, are 12 brothers. Is that the truth? Yes. The sons of one man in the land of Canaan. Is that the truth? Yes. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father. Is that the truth? Yes. And one is no more. Is that the truth? One no more refers to Joseph. Ang tanong, is that the truth? One no more. Probably yes, probably no. So they're telling the truth 99% truth. But the one is no more is not quite sure. We're not quite sure about what they mean about one is no more. Ano bang ibig sabihin nito? Pero sa Hebrew language, it means he's dead. One is dead. Nung narinig ni Joseph na sinabi ng mga kapatid niya, one is no more, referring to him, he's dead, Siguro yung camera nag-zoom in sa mukha ni Joseph at meron siyang ngiti. Alam mo yun, yung siguro nagdedirect kayo ng camera, nag-zoom in kay Joseph, tapos may ngiti siya na, talaga, patay na. Let's see about that. Joseph, dead? Let's see about that. But Joseph said in verse 14, "It is as you said. It is as I said to you. You are spies, and by this you shall be tested. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not go from this place unless your youngest brother Benjamin comes here." Although hindi niya binanggit yung pangalan ni Benjamin. "Send one of you and let him bring your brother while you remain confined, that your words may be tested whether there is truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies." So he put them all together in custody for 3 days. Ang tanong, totoo ba yung sinabi nila that Joseph is no more? Well, siguro, sa isip nila, sa puso nila, na-realize nila na probably, yeah, Joseph is dead. Because who could have survived the slavery in Egypt? You know, Egyptians are slave drivers. They're harsh. They're brutal. And what can a 17-year-old do? Said, teenager, paano mabubuhay yun sa Egypto? Then by then, probably Joseph is dead. So mas madaling paniwalaan yun. Malamang patay na nga si Jose. Patay na nga si Jose. No? At yun na yung pinaniwalaan nila. No, lalo yung itatayo mo yung pyramid, di ba? Napakahirap nung imagine mo yung mga tao nagtatayo ng pyramid. But by this time, the pyramid has already been built. Okay. So, again, the story is not for Joseph to take vengeance in his hands, but to bring his brothers to repentance. So, 3 days together in the dungeon. 3 days. Ano kaya ang intention ni Joseph? Probably so that they could huddle together and think about what's next. What will they do next? What lies are they going to concoct this time? Anong kasinungalingan naman ang iimbentohin nila ngayon? No? After 3 days. Gusto malaman ni Joseph yun eh. So on the third day, verse 18. Come on, look at your Bible. Joseph said to them, "Do this and you will live. For I fear God." So si Jose mismo pumunta doon sa kulungan at kinausap pa yung kanyang mga kapatid. Hindi siya kilalang kapatid. Sabi niya, "Itong gawin ninyo and you will live." Bakit sinabi ni Joseph na you do this and you will live? Kasi alam niyo mga kapatid, kung nakulong yung sampu, do you think Jacob will do something to rescue his 10 sons? Do you think Jacob will muster an army and attack Egypt to save and rescue his 10 sons? No, he won't. Kasama naman niya si Benjamin eh. And that's more than enough. Yung nawala yung sampo, that's good riddance. He won't lift a finger to save his 10 sons. And Joseph also knows that. Kaya ang sabi niya, "Do this and you will live." Instead of detaining 9 of you and sending 1 back, "I will detain only 1 and 9 will go back. You will live." Sa halip na siyam yung ikulong ko dito at isa'y bumalik sa tatay ninyo para kuhanin si Benjamin, naisip ko, sabi niyang ganun, yung siyam na lang ang umuwi, maiwan na lang yung isa. Gawin niyo to, mabubuhay kayo. No? And if you are honest man, no? "One of your brothers remain confined where you are in custody, and let the rest go and carry grain for the famine of your household. and bring your youngest brother to me. So your words will be verified and you shall not die. And they did so. Kino-confirm ni Joseph dito how honest these men were. Kasi in this chapter alone, the word honest is mentioned 5 times. In this chapter alone. So we're looking at honesty here. So, sabi niya, okay, 9 will stay, 1 will go. Instead of 9 will go, 9 will, from 9 to stay and 1 to go, to 9 to go and 1 to stay. It's also, you know, Joseph's generosity that made him do this. Kasi kapag siyam yung umuwi, di ba? Pag siyam yung umuwi, pag 9 yung umuwi, mas marami silang grain na maiuwi. Tama ba? Amen po ba? Kesa yung isa lang ang uuwi, walang madadalang grain. E naaalala niyo yung tatay niya. You know, my father needed the grain. So, 9 will go, and then I will return the money in their sacks. Okay. Verse 21. Look at what happened in verse 21. Look how God pricks the conscience of this 10 brothers. Then they said to one another, in truth, we are guilty concerning our brother. No? Nag-usap-usap yung magkakapatid sa harapan ni Joseph. Nagsasalita sila in Hebrew. Akala nila, hindi naiintindihan ni Joseph. So nag-uusap-usap sila. Sabi niya ganun, sa totoo lang, guilty tayo tungkol kay Joseph. Sabi niya ganun, nakita natin yung distress ng soul niya. Nagmamakaawa siya. Hindi tayo nakinig. At itong distress na ito, itong problema na ito, dumating sa atin, itong pressure na ito. Then sabi ni Ruben, di ba sabi ko sa inyo, huwag tayong magkasala sa bata na ito. Di kayo nakinig sa akin. Kaya dito ngayon, pinananagutan natin yung kasalanang ginawa natin noon. Alam mo yung nag-uusap-usap yung magkakapatid. Akala nila sila na nakakaintindi. E samantala nga doon si Joseph, nakikinig. Intinding-intindi niya yung confession nitong magkakapatid na ito. Intinding-intindi niya yung sinasabi. At you know, nung imagine mo kung ikaw si Joseph, at narinig mo na ganito yung distress ng magkakapatid, at lumabas na yung totoo. You know, Joseph could not contain it. He could not contain it. In fact, the Hebrew, the word used was, he did not weep lang eh. He convulsed. Alam mo yung na-convulsion? Parang, hindi mo may paliwanag yung laman ng puso niya na halos parang gustong sumabog. At hindi niya natagalan yun. Umalis siya doon sa lugar na yun at pumunta siya ng CR. Doon siya umiyak ng umiyak. At pagkatapos siyang maghugas ng mukha. No, isa kasi bumalik sa kanya mga kapatid. Si Jose ay katulad ni Jesus, mga kapatid. Nakita natin dito sa verse na ito, in verse 24, Joseph wept. In John also, it was told that Jesus wept. Bakit umiyak si Jesus? He wept because he was also hurting. Joseph was hurting. Jesus was also hurting when he wept for the death of Lazarus. So Joseph is more like Jesus. Amen? Naintindihan niya yung dinadaanan mo at he feels with you. And he returned to them and spoke to them and he took Simeon from them and bound him before their eyes. Kinuha si Simeon. No? Bakit si Simeon? Of all the 10 brothers, why Simeon? Well, probably Simeon was the ringleader. It was his idea to deceive the Shechemites and to kill them. Alam mo to, medyo war freak itong si Simeon. Siya yung pasimuno ng lahat ng mga violence kasama ni Levi. Sila yan. So anyway, siguro habang si Simeon ay ginapos na at ikukulong na, siguro nagpaalam siya sa kanyang mga kapatid na, brothers, this might be the last time that we will be seeing each other again. And this might be the last time that, you know, I will see my father and Canaan, no? Kasi I am forever condemned as a slave in Egypt. Kasi alam niya, alam mo mga kapatid, alam niya rin, kung sakali mang ma-detain siya sa Egypt, hindi na rin siya babalikan ng kanyang siya mga kapatid. At lalong hindi siya i-rescue ng tatay niya. Yun ang alam ni Simeon. Nobody will care about him. Nobody will remember him. He will die a slave in Egypt. But we know that he's wrong. Verse 25, Joseph gave orders to fill the bags with grain and to replace every man's money in his sack and to give them provisions for the journey. This was done for them. Okay. So napaka-generous talaga ni Joseph, ano? Kaya hindi mo siya pwede i-accuse na masama ang loob ni Joseph sa kanya mga kapatid, kaya niya dinadaan sa ganitong pressure, tin-torture niya. No, hindi yun eh. Gusto lang niyang palutangin kung anong laman ng puso ng kanyang mga kapatid. Gusto lang niya malaman. Kasi kung siya, masama ang loob niya sa mga kapatid niya, hindi niya na bibigyan ng grain, hindi niya na bibigyan ng, hindi na ibabalik yung pera doon sa kanila mga sako, hindi na sila bibigyan ng provision pa uwi. Hindi niya nagagawin yun. But Joseph was so generous. No? But there's one thing that he wanted to find out. Will they be honest men to tell their father what exactly happened in Egypt? Or they will write another, or they will create another lie na sasabihin nila sa tatay nila, si Simeon, hindi na nakabalik. Bakit? Nilapa ng leon. O, kagaya ng kwento nila nung nawala si Joseph. Joseph wanted to find out, are my brothers really honest men by now? We'll see. Verse 26, then they loaded their donkeys with their grain and departed. And then somewhere along the way, you know, as they one of them opened his sack to give his donkey father in the inn, he saw his money in the mouth of his sack. And he said to his brothers, my money has been put back. Here it is in the mouth of my sack. At this, their hearts failed them, and they turned trembling to one another, saying, what is this that God has done to us? So nung pauwi na sila, nag-stop over sila, papakainin nung isang, sabi nung ibang mga Bible scholars, si Levi daw yan eh. Kinuha niya yung kanyang sako, kukuha siya ng grain, papakainin niya yung kanyang mga hayop na alaga, at pagbukas niya nung sako, nandun yung leather bag, leather pouch. Tapos nung buksan niya, nandun yung silver na pambayad doon sa kanilang binili. Agulat siya. Now, what will Levi do? Joseph wanted to find out what will they do if they find that there is money inside their bags. You know, Levi could have done, nung nakita niya yung bag, pouch, leather pouch, na mayroong pera. Nakita niya, may pera. Ang pwede niyang gawin ay isiksik niya doon. Walang nakakaalam nito. Ako lang. Nakalimutan nilang kung ano yung bayad ko. May pera pa ako. That's a deceiving spirit. He could have done that. Or pwede niyang kuhanin yung leather pouch, no? At sabihin niya sa kanyang sarili na, ah, may extra pala ako. Nakapagbayad na ako, may extra pala ako. Hindi ko naisip, dalawa pala yung baong ko. So that's lying, di ba? Yung gumagawa ka na lang ng kwento to justify na bakit meron kang extra. Or, pwede rin namang sabihin na, sabihin niya sa kanya, say, oy, mga kapatid, meron akong, nandito pa yung pouch, oh. Binalik sa akin nung master, nung governor. Siguro nakita niya good boy ako. So that's a prideful spirit. You know, I deserve this, you know. I deserve this. Pero siya lang kasi nagbukas nung sako eh. Pero later, makita natin na lahat pala sila merong binalik na leather pouch full of money inside. Pero si Levi, sinabi niya, mga bro, hindi akin to. Bakit nandito pa rin yung pinambayad ko? He was honest enough to admit that there's money inside the bag. Nagbabago na pala. Amen ba? Pwede palang magbago. Amen? Mula sa pagiging sinungaling, pwede palang maging totoo. Amen ba? Sabi mo sa katabi mo, pwede ka palang magbago. And then for the first time in verse 28, God was mentioned. What is this that God has done to us? Remember in verse 18, it was Joseph who first mentioned the name of God. Nauna pang banggitin ng governor na hindi nakakakilala sa Diyos na, I fear God. Bago nila ma-realize in verse 28 that God was doing something to them, not for them, but God is up to something to them, not for them, but to them, meaning God is doing something in their inner person, in the inner man. God is doing something. God is overhauling them from the inside out. What is this that God is doing? So, slowly, no? The fear of God is growing. Verse 29, will they tell the true story to their father? When they came to Jacob, their father, in the land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened to them, saying, the man, the lord of the land, spoke roughly to us and took us to be spies of the land. But we said to him, we are honest men. Again, the word honest man. Sila. Alam mo, kapag ka ikaw sinungaling ka, no? Talagang minsan, talagang pag nangalantakan mo, hindi, sinagsasabi ako ng totoo, nagsasabi ako ng totoo. Minsan, the more na sinasabi mo yung nagsasabi ka ng totoo, the more na sinasabi tuloy na parang nagsisinungaling ka. No? Kasi when you are belaboring something, trying to prove something, no, minsan, invoking the name of God, no, saksi ko ang Diyos! Ito talaga ang nangyari. No? Minsan, kapag ka ginagawa mo pang gano'n, lalo pang hindi ka panipaniwala yung sinasabi mo. Why don't you say the plain truth? Diba? As simple as that. No. But we said, we are honest men. Verse 31, we have never been spies. We are 12 brothers, sons of our father. One is no more. The youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. Then the man, the lord of the land, said to us, by this I shall know that you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers with me and take the grain for the famine of your household and go your way. Bring your youngest brother to me. Then I shall know that you are not spies, but honest men. I will deliver your brother to you and you shall trade in the land. Okay? So did they tell the truth? Yeah, they told the truth. Kaya lang, nandun pa rin yung one is no more. No, there's still the elephant in the room that they could not address. What happened to that one who is no more? Tinabi nila yung totoo about, you know, ito nangyari sa amin sa Egypt. Ganyan, ganyan, ganyan. Malupit, masugit yung aming, yung governor. Kinorner kami, kinulong kami ganito. Iniwan si Simeon. No, talagang kinonfront kami ng todo-todo, ganyan, ganyan, ganyan. At ang sabi namin, magkakapatid kami, labing dalawa, si yung isa nando sa tatay namin, yung isa ay nawala na. Bagamat, yeah, that's true, but they never mention about what happened to that one man who is no more. Still, walang binanggit about that. But it's okay. Somehow, nag-grow na sila, di ba? Nagsasabi na sila ng totoo. Amen? Amen. Verse 35, as they emptied their sacks, behold, every man's bundle of money was in the sack. And when they and their father saw their bundles of money, they were afraid. Why? Afraid. Why such a response? Bumili ka ng grain. Nakita mo yung pera mo doon. Ano dapat ang response mo? Wow! Praise the Lord, di ba? May grain na ako, may pera pa ako. Praise God, di ba? Dapat you rejoice with the blessing. Tama ba? Para mo bumili ka ng ano? Bumili ka ng Toyota Innova. No? Pag uwi mo sa bahay, yung pinambayad mo ng Toyota Innova, nandoon sa likuran. Buong buo. No? 1 million. Anong reaction mo? Di ba? Praise God, di ba? Meron na akong Innova, meron pa akong pera. Di ba? Pero ang tanong, bakit sila natakot? Why they were afraid? Kasi nga kasasabi lang nila dun sa governor na, we are honest men. Di ba? Inaccused kami na spy kami. Hindi naman kami spy. Then all of a sudden, yung pinambayad namin, makikita namin dun sa sako, ano na, nasa kami pupulutin ito? Di ba? Nagsasabi na nga kami ng totoo. Bakit nagkakaganito yung buhay namin? Kung kailan ako nagsabi ng totoo, ngayon kami nagkakaluko-luko. Sometimes when you do the right thing, there will be setbacks. To test and to prove if you are really serious in living a transformed life. Kasi alam na nila, it's the end of the line for them. Una, hindi na sila makakabalik ng Ehipto, no? Hindi na sila makakakuha ng grain doon. Hindi na nila mababalikan si Simeon. Wala na sila mukhang iharap. Di ba? At kung hindi man mangyari yon, magugutom na sila. At kung malupit yung governor, tutugisin sila. Papatayin sila. Kaya talagang nalaglag ang puso nila, no? Nadurog ang puso nila. Dahil nga, wow, they will be imprisoned or fugitives for life. 36, and Jacob their father said to them, you have bereaved me of my children. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. Now you would take Benjamin. All this has come against me. That's in verse 36. Ano ba naman yung pinagagagawa ninyo magkakapatid? Nawala na si Jose. Nawala na si Simeon. Ngayon kukunin nyo pa sa akin si Benjamin. Lahat na lang laban sa akin. Everything is against me. If ever you will ask Jacob, what is your life verse? It's Genesis 42, verse 36. Everything is against me. Is that your life verse? Everything is against me. Lahat na lang. Lahat na lang. Hindi umaayon. Lahat na lang. Di ba siya yung tinawag ng Panginoon? Di ba siya yung pinalitan pa yung pangalan niya from Jacob to Israel? Kaya nga, time and again, ang banggit sa kanya, Israel, sometimes Jacob, kasi nga, it's a process. He's being transformed. And right now, this is one of his lowest point in his life. No? At ang tingin niya, ang perspective niya is everything is against him. Everything is against him. Everyone is against him. Nothing good will ever happen. No? Is that how negative your thinking is right now? Na parang wala namang matinong nangyayari sa buhay mo. Parang lahat na lang hindi umaayon. Lahat ng plano mo nagkakaluko-luko. Lahat ng pinagpe-pray mo hindi sinasagot. Then this is your life verse. But Joseph's life verse is totally different. Alam nating lahat, hindi pa naman naisulat ang Romans 8:28 noon. But ang life verse ni Joseph is Romans 8:28. In all things, God works together for the good of those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. In all things. No? Hindi sinabi dyan na all things are good. Every incident in your life will be good. No. Hindi na sinasabi. But all things, good and bad, God can orchestrate, God can create something good out of that. At yun ang tinuturo ng Panginoon kay Jacob right at this moment. Okay? So verse 37, pumasok si Reuben. Reuben is the eldest among the brothers. He said to his father, kill my two sons. If I do not bring him back to you, put him in my hands and I will bring him back to you. Sabi niya, I will make my two sons a token
guarantee. Pag hindi ko na ibalik si Simeon, pag hindi ko na ibalik si Benjamin sa'yo, patayin mo yung dalawa kong anak. Some commentaries would say na hindi naman pinatulan si Reuben kasi nga alam mo si Reuben ano siya eh, yung klase ng tao na he will try to do something but it's always not enough. Parang he's a kind of guy na parang hindi mo masyadong paniniwalaan. Parang ganun, no? Some commentators would say that. But when I look at this verse 37, and in the light of the road to transformation and road to restoration, I want to give credit to Reuben by saying, this guy, Reuben, is a changed person as well. Kasi sino ba yung magsasabi ng ganito, di ba? Na parang sinabi niya sa kanyang tatay, I love Simeon and I love Benjamin as much as I love my two sons. That's how much I love Reuben, Simeon, and Benjamin. Itataya ko yung dalawang anak ko para sa dalawang kong kapatid na ito. Isn't that what Joseph was looking for? Would my brother care for each other? Would they begin to care? Or iiwanan na lang nila si Simeon kagaya ng pag-iwan nila sa akin? Joseph wanted to find out, have my brothers changed? Have my brothers changed? So what Reuben actually did is a symbolic posture or symbolic act na I will do this, I will do this. Given a chance, I will do this, I will definitely do this. But it did not happen. But there's one thing I want to tell you. Reuben, his symbolic offer did not happen, but God did it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He actually did it. He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Kay Reuben, pangako lang. Kay Reuben, offer lang niya na pagka hindi ko na ibalik si Simeon, hindi ko na ibalik si Benjamin, patayin ninyo yung dalawa kong anak. Pangako lang yon, hindi naman nangyari. Pero ang Diyos, ginawa niya. Binigay niya yung pinakamamahal niyang anak. Pinatay dun sa krus ng Kalbaryo para ikaw at ako magkaroon ng kapatawaran ng kasalanan. Amen po ba? Pwede bang palapakan natin ng Panginoon? Tayo nangangako lang, pero ang Diyos ginagawa niya. Purihin ang Panginoon for His love for us. Actually giving His Son to die for our sins. Well, back to the story, verse 38. But he said, my son shall not go down with you. For his brother is dead and he's the only one left. If harm should happen to him on the journey that you are to make, you would bring down my gray hairs with sorrow in Sheol. You know, this is a weird family, really. Kasi, imagine mo, Jacob was talking to his 11 sons. Pero sabi lang niya, my son, Benjamin. Eh, paano na yung sampo? Di ba nakakasakit naman ng kalooban yun? Di ba? Nakakasakit naman ng kalooban yun? Si Benjamin lang ang tinatawag na son? Eh, ano ba naman kami, tatay? Di ba, tatay ka namin? Di ba, anak mo kami? Kaya lang, ganun ka-desperate itong si Jacob. Sabi niya, I won't let my son go with you. Just to summarize everything. Ang tanong natin lang is, will they tell the truth? Will they be honest enough to tell the truth? And we see these brothers being changed. And now they begin and they are learning to be honest, to tell the truth. Hallelujah. Will they love their brother Simeon? Will they care for them? Nakita natin how Reuben offered his two sons. Nakita natin yung transformation, character transformation ni Reuben. Wow. There is love in the family. There is love among brothers. There is transformation. There is restoration happening. But the last, will they fear God? Will they begin to trust God? Will they begin to believe in God? O kaya, they have believed in God before, but they will they trust God again? Slowly, mga kapatid, these brothers are learning to see with the eyes of faith that God is behind all this. But the father, Jacob, had to know and learn more. Kasi nga, sabi niya in verse 38, no, everything is against me in verse 36. And in verse 38, ang sabi niya, never, never again. No? Sabi niya, never will I send my son Benjamin. Never will he leave my side. Never will I lose a son again. Never will I be hurt again. Never again. Never. That's how hurting he was. But let me give a spoiler. Pag yung Bible ninyo, chapter 42, tumingin kayo sa 43, you will see Jacob giving in, sending his son Benjamin to Egypt. What happened? There's a change. What changed him? What changed? What changed Jacob? Sabi niya, never again. Never will I be hurt again. Never, never, never again. But he changed. Kapatid, let me tell you something. Never despair if there are people in your lives who will make a declaration. Never will I become a born again. Never will I join you in that church cross world. You have your parents, your brothers, your sisters, no? Sasabihin yan, hinding-hindi mo ko mapapapunta sa cross world. Pero nandito ka ngayon. Sino yung nagsabi ng ganun? Hinding-hindi ako magiging born again. Sino yung nagsabi niyang ganyan? Tapos nandito ka ngayon. Pakitaas nga ang kamay. Hinding-hindi. Misa may mga declaration eh, no? Pero, you know, always give space for God to work. He works in mysterious ways. So there are people in our lives, your husband maybe, saying na, hindi-hindi mo ako makapunta dyan sa born again na yan. Huwag kang susuko kasi magbabago ang lahat. Amen ba? Yung mga anak mo na hindi magbago-bago, sabi, hindi na ako babalik dyan sa cross world na yan. No? Never despair. Because Jacob, he made the declaration, never, never, never again. Ang tanong ko, what changed him? What changed this guy? What changed Jacob? No? To send his son to Egypt. When he heard the good news, and what's the good news? The good news is that Joseph is alive. That changed everything. Joseph, my son, is alive. He's alive. And when you realize, when your loved ones realize that it's not just about Joseph, but it's about Jesus Christ. People think that Jesus is dead. People think that Jesus, you know, belongs in the ancient times, no? 2,000 years ago. Yes, it's a historical figure, but is he relevant today? Sometimes you think, oh, yeah, Jesus, yeah, he's a founder of a religion. Yeah, Jesus, yeah, I know him. But do you know in your heart that Jesus is alive? He is alive now. He is active now. He is moving in your life now. He is changing you right now. Amen ba? He is healing you right now. And because Jesus is alive, you can face tomorrow. Amen? Yun na nagpabago kay Jacob eh. Yung nalaman niya, yung anak ko buhay. My son Joseph is alive. Now may this change our perspective and our, you know, when we look at the horizon, no, down the line we can see na, Lord, I know I can be confident in the future because even if I die, my children will be well because you are alive. This marriage, no, will be blessed because Jesus is alive. My children will be okay because Jesus is alive. Maaring patay na ako, pero dahil buhay ka, Jesus, may pag-asa ako. Aayos ang lahat. Amen po ba, mga kapatid? Can we give the Lord Jesus a round of applause? And can we celebrate the good news that Jesus is alive? Amen? The God that we worship is not the works of man's hands. The God that we worship is not an idol. The God that we worship is alive. Jesus is alive. Amen. Can we close our eyes? Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending your Son to die for our sins. Crucified on the cross, bearing our shame, bearing our pain, bearing our sins. And He died the criminal's death. Pero salamat, Panginoon, because He never stayed on the cross. He never stayed in the grave. He rose again. He's alive. And He's with us. And He is powerful. He's awesome. He's glorious, beautiful. And He makes things beautiful in our lives. Thank you, Lord. In good times and in bad times, Lord, You are on the throne because You are Jesus and You are alive. Hallelujah. If you want to surrender your life to Jesus, maybe in your life you're thinking that, you know, everything is against you. Nothing good is happening in your life. But look again, because behind the scene is the hand of God. Ordering, organizing, orchestrating everything. To show Himself to you that He's a good God, that He loves you, that He cares for you. But He wants you to change. He wants you to live a life in truth, a life of love, and a life of trust in God. Nais mo bang sabihin, Panginoon, awan You in my life, and I want You to change me. Change me, Lord. Restore me. Make me a new man, a new woman. And only You can do that. Only Jesus Christ can do that. If that is your prayer, can you just raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you. Kung sinasabi mo, sinusuko mo ang buhay mo sa Panginoon ngayon at pagtitiwalaan mo siya na siya ang mag-aayos ng iyong buhay at tutulungan ka niya na mabago ang lahat. Matuto kang magsabi ng totoo. Matuto ka ng magmahal at matuto kang magtiwala sa Panginoon. Kung ito ang panalangin mo sa Panginoon, pwede bang taas mo ngayong kamay? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyone else who would like to surrender his life to the Lord, just lift your hands. Yes, hallelujah. Praise God.